The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter Number 15, Text Number 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 6th, 2010, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 15, Text Number 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Tam Madhava Venum Mudiram Vritto.
Tam Madhava Venum Mudirayam
Vritto. Gopaya Ganadhi Svaya Shobalan Vita. Gopaya Ganadhi Svaya Shobalan Vita. Pashun Viraskritya Pashya Vyam Avishad.
Pashun
Viraskritya Pashya Vyam Avishad. Viharatu Kama Kusuma Karambanam. Viharatu Kama Kusuma Karambanam. Translation in Purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thus desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. Srila Sanatana Goswami has explained the various meanings of the word Madhava as follows. Madhava normally indicates Krishna to be the Lord who is the consort of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. This name also implies that Lord Krishna descended in the dynasty of Madhu. Since the spring season is also known as Madhava, it is to be understood that as soon as Lord Krishna entered the Vrindavan forest, it automatically exhibited all the opulences of spring, becoming filled with flowers, breezes, and a celestial atmosphere. Another reason Lord Krishna is known as Madhava is that he enjoys his pastimes as Madhu, or rather in Madhu, the taste of conjugal love. Lord Krishna would loudly sound his flute as he entered the forest of Sri Vrindavan, thus giving inconceivable bliss to all the residents of his hometown, Vrajadham. These simple pastimes of playfully entering the forest, playing on the flute, and so forth, were performed daily in the spiritual land of Vrindavan. Vandeham. Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Jagannatha
Sadaitam Zadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, some people would say, why are you Hare Krishna people making such a big deal out of the pastimes of Krishna? Actually, the Indian government had one publication, and they said that Krishna was simply some aborigine, and the people elevated him as some kind of a superhero. So why are we so interested in Krishna's pastimes? Are we simply blindly following some religious tradition? Or do we actually have a scientific reason for being so interested in Krishna's pastime? We have scientific reasons. We're not a blind faith cult. The pastimes of Krishna are the most interesting thing that's going on, actually, because as Krishna confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 10, text number 8, Aham Savasya Prabhava Mataksavam Pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material world. Everything emanates from me. So when you connect with Krishna, it's not an ordinary connection, like going to the movies. Of course, we don't go to the movies. Do we? No. We don't waste our time because we learn how to tune into a movie in the heart. Much better than any Bollywood or Hollywood junk. So, the pastimes of Krishna are the most exciting movie you could ever watch because this person, Krishna, is the source of everything. In fact, the only reason that anything appears to be interesting to us is because it's part and parcel of Krishna, actually. Everything within this world that appears attractive, and actually everything appears attractive in this world. Everybody is attracted to everything, like a dog sniffing everything. It has that attractive quality because actually it's Krishna's energy. Krishna is the source of all attraction. He's the supreme all-attractive personality of Godhead. So everything in relation with Krishna, because it's the energy of Krishna, therefore it also has an attractive quality. In other words, nothing is attractive except by dint of the fact that it is the energy of Krishna. Take any attractive thing in this world, you see. It is only attractive because it is the energy of Krishna. So if you find money attractive, just imagine if you can get to the government treasury where all the money is sitting. When I was a boy, I visited Washington, D.C. We went to the printing press for there. We saw the money being printed. So if you find the energy attractive, you can get to the source of the energy, the generating station the powerhouse, the summum bonum, the fountainhead for all the energy, you can connect with their place. What can we say? But, wow! That's what's really happening, you see. If we find the energy to be so attractive, just imagine you can connect with the source of the energy. This is called Krishna consciousness. To connect with the source of the energy. Because Krishna is the source of everything, therefore everything about Krishna is inconceivably attractive. His name. Do you know how attractive the name of Krishna is? You do, that's very good. The name of Krishna is so attractive that Rupa Goswami is described in this way. Tunday Tindavali Vitin Vitinade Tundavali Lavdiye Karna Krodha Kadambani Katayate Kudar Vidai Vraspiram Cheta Prangana Sangani Vijayate Savendayanam Kritim Nojani Janita Kiyadvir Amritai Krishnaiti Varna Dvai. You know the Sanskrit? No one knows the Sanskrit. Alright, I'll give you the translation. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I utter these syllables, Krishna, they appear to dance in my mouth. And that name of Krishna is dancing in my mouth. There's just so much nectar in that name that even this one little mouth can't get all that nectar. Therefore, when that name of Krishna is dancing in my mouth, I want millions of mouths. After those names, after dancing in the tongue, they go around and they enter into my ears. There's so much nectar there, I can't get all of it. I want millions and billions of ears. And after vibrating in my tongue and traveling through the ears and going into the heart, that when that name dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind becomes completely conquered. And I'm stunned in wonder. So every aspect of Krishna is attractive like this. There's unlimited nectar in one simple utterance of Krishna. There's unlimited nectar in one simple pastime of Krishna going into the forest, blowing on his flute. How many millions and billions of dollars are people spending on CDs to get the latest hit song, is it? Wake up, Magdalene. Please. You can take a nap later. Now we request you to join us. We love you. We want you to be here with us. Thank you, Prabhu. So, how much more attractive then is the source of all the hit songs, you see? These hit songs are so attractive, generating millions and billions of dollars of revenue for the record companies and for the recording artists, the pop stars. Just consider the source of all of this, all these musical sounds, you see. The source for all musical sounds is actually Krishna's flute, you see. All musical sounds are coming from Krishna's flute. Just imagine how attractive they would be. You take all the hit songs in the history of the world, you multiply them times billions and billions of times, how attractive that would be, and it's all right there when Krishna blows on his flute. Show me any musician in this, even the Beatles, that were so attractive, show me an animal that is stunned on. There's no animal stunned on the Beatles. Have you ever seen a cow being stunned by Beatle music? Is it? or Michael Jackson music, you know, the cowboy. No. These songs are nothing. The Beatles, Michael Jackson, all these popular artists, they're nothing compared to Krishna. When he blows his flute, even the animals go into ecstasy. Even the animals go into ecstasy. So just consider how powerful, how potent, how surcharged, how enlivened, how inconceivably, transcendentally wonderful is every single tiny, teeny-weeny aspect, even the most infinitesimal aspect of Krishna, his pastime, his name, his form, his quality, his entourage, his paraphernalia, his dham, his teachings, etc., etc., etc. Just consider. Just consider being stunned in wonder, being a Vrijabhasi, and hearing Krishna's flute, and just being stunned to hear that flute. Go into intense ecstasy. Become merged in the most powerful, inconceivable samadhi just by hearing that flute. Every single pastime of Krishna is like the most amazing movie that you could ever witness. So everybody is in a complete state of awe to see that movie. They're crying in ecstasy. They're awe. They're just completely... Just imagine some movie, the greatest movie that was ever released in the history of the world. And every interview that comes to that movie, they just don't want to leave the movie. They just want to stay there forever. You see, they're so awed by that movie. They just want to stay there. They don't want to go home. They don't want to do anything. They just want to stay glued to that movie for all of eternity. You understand? That movie, that supreme movie, is Krishna's pastime. Otherwise, how is it that those sages who assemble before Shukadeva could sit there for 168 hours, as we mentioned the other day? Can you imagine sitting down? We have trouble even here. Some of us are falling asleep, you see. Because we're late doing a lot of service, hopefully there's something like that. But just consider sitting for 168 hours. How many of us would be nodding out? 168 hours. But Pariksit Maharaj, he didn't get sleepy. All those sages, you know, a sage even came all the way from Europe. You know, the Vedic culture, the Vedic culture was the whole planet. There was a sage who came from Europe. Can you imagine? A European sadhu came. A sage came all the way from Europe. And other planets also they came to attend that 168 hour discourse. And actually, this 168 hours, the sages of Naimisharanya were prepared to sit down for 1,000 years. Said, okay, Prabhu, come over to the temple, we're going to have a 1,000 year Bhagavatam class. For 1,000 years, we will talk about Krishna and hear about Krishna. Are you ready? Come on over. Bring your kids, bring your wife, bring your friends. Okay, now we're going to have 1,000 years Bhagavatam class. Are you ready to sit for 1,000 years and hear the Bhagavatam? Say, well, I don't know. Maybe a half an hour I could handle, but 1,000 years? But actually, if we fully enter the proper spirit of hearing the Bhagavatam, you see, then we could sit for 1,000 years and it would be just like that. Why? Because this Transcendental Katha, Bhagavad Katha, exists beyond the realm of time and space. If you actually enter into this Bhagavad Katha, you're no longer living within time and space. Your body may be within time and space, but you won't be living beyond time and space. By simply by the medium of transcendental sound vibration, you'll be carried, just like there's that verse, you know that verse from the Bhagavatam, carried by the wings of the Vedas. You know that verse? Very wonderful verse. If you will absorb yourself deeply in hearing these transcendental topics, you'll be carried by the wings of this transcendental sound vibration into the spiritual existence, the part of Yama. Do you know the double Mangala Thakur? While he was sitting in Vrindavan, he was actually entering into Krishna's pastime in the spiritual sky. Described. So if one goes deeply enough into hearing the Bhagavatam class, you can actually enter into the spiritual sky. Just imagine if we're sitting here, deeply absorbed in hearing Krishna's pastime, being in Vrindavan. And we go deeper and deeper and deeper in meditation, and we go so deep that we, you know, all of a sudden we look and we see we're actually Vrindavan Forest is Talavan, actually. They went to Talavan. We actually go so deep that we look and go, wow, we're actually here, we're in Talavan. Just imagine if the door is opened up and we could actually see, now we're in Talavan Forest with Krishna. And we look over there and he actually, and we can hear him playing his flute. You see? Just imagine we went so deeply into hearing the Bhagavatam class that we actually saw, we're actually here in Talavan and here's Krishna and he's playing his flute. And look, here's Balaram. You see? So, it's just a matter of going deep enough into this hearing. You see, really paying it with rapt attention. Not when this class can be over, more interested in my wash than I am in the class. You see? Well, you have to do this because the Prabhupada wants me to do it, you know, I'm Bhagavata to say, but you know. Doing my duty. But no, we have to learn how to really relish the taste of Krishna Katha. Machchita mangita pranam bodhiyanta parasparam katiyantaschamam nityamantasham ticharamantasham. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered on me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. This is the most wonderful verse, Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text number, where's our Bhakti Shastris? Text number 9. So everyone wake up, you see. Don't sleep. You can sleep. There's plenty of other time than you to sleep. Now you're here, wake up to this message of Krishna consciousness. Because this message will take you beyond this ocean of birth and death. It will take you into the transcendental dimension where Krishna's pastimes are eternally unfolding at every minute. You see. Learn how to tune in to these transcendental pastimes of Krishna. And that day will come and you wake up and find yourself in them. You see. The key is hearing. Quality hearing. You know, that was Prabhupada's secret. You know how Prabhupada became as a powerful preacher? By hearing. He explained that. His hearing is so important thing. Prabhupada, you know, he was a Prayag pharmacy. He had a pharmaceutical business, wholesale and retail. So he heard that. He had, of course, in 1922, as a young man, he had met Bhakti Sananda Sarasvati Thakur in Calcutta. What was the neighborhood? Uttadanga. He had met Bhakti Sananda Sarasvati that evening in the rooftop in Uttadanga, Calcutta. And what was the first thing? The first order he got? You should spread this Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. He was shocked. What is this? I'm just walking in as the first time? I'm a complete stranger walking in. I'm given an order. So this is... Now it's Gandhiism. What is this guru talking about? This is time for Gandhi's movement. We have to kick out these Britishers. What is he talking about spreading Krishna consciousness? Doesn't he realize? What is the most important thing? Defeat these Britishers. This was his idea, because he was following Gandhi, at least externally. So anyway, he was defeated in Gurmai's argument. And immediately, he took shelter. Immediately, he took formal, what we call now formal shelter. He took immediately formal shelter without any approval, any authority. He took formal shelter immediately. This is my spiritual master. And he began worshiping him. And then he got his diksha 11 years later, actually, in 1933, after he got recommended by the devotees and the who were preaching at the time in Allahabad. So why did they recommend him? And how did he get approved? Baba told us, how was he got approved for initiation? He said that he... Guru Maharaj had come to Braj to do Braj Mandal Parikrama. And so he took some time out of his business and he came as a Bhai Chalan Day. He came there to hear Guru Maharaj. Now in the evening, there was discourse by Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur. Now, you know, in the evenings also in Vrindavan, there's so many nice darshan. You can go to the temple. Nice darshan. So in the evening, you had a choice. You'd go for pravachan or you'd go for darshan. Go for the lecture or go for darshan. Now, most of the followers of Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati, they were simple Bengali village boys, you see. And you know how he spoke? The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental lotika, and this way he would speak with big, big words. So you can imagine, where did most of the boys go? They go for a lecture, they went for darshan. What do you think they went? They went for darshan. Because they couldn't understand what Guru Maharaj was talking about. But there was one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad. He would attend every night the lecture, along with a few small handful of sannyasis. He would sit there and he would hear Guru Maharaj speak. He had promised that I would understand or I would not understand. But still, I would go on listening. He said, in this way, Guru Maharaj marked me that this boy hears nicely. So, when shortly after that, when the devotees in Allahabad, they made, it's like in ISKCON, they made temple authority will make recommendation for initiation. It's like today, we have two disciples getting recommended now, being initiated at 10 o'clock this morning. Everyone can come. So, the authorities there in Allahabad, they recommended this Abhay Chalan Day for initiation. And immediately, Bhakti Sananda said, yes, the others go away, but he hears nicely, therefore I will accept him. So Prabhupada said, because I have heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So if you have a desire to bless the people of Mauritius with Krishna consciousness, you see, to save these poor souls from being dragged to the court of Yamaraj at the time of death and going through inconceivable hell in Yamaloka, if you have a desire to save yourself, save your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your countrymen, the people of this planet, then you must hear nicely. You must learn how to sit and hear nicely these transcendental topics. Because by that sitting and hearing nicely, you become empowered to preach very nicely. You see, that's the secret. So the more we can hear about Krishna's pastimes, about Krishna's teachings, about the pastimes of great devotees like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the more we can absorb ourselves in these transcendental topics, we become completely delivered from lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, and we'll become absolutely ecstatic 24 hours a day, which is what we really want, isn't it? Don't you want to be blissful 24 hours a day, tasting the sweetest nectar every second without ever being disturbed in your mind? Well, this is where you get it. You're not going to get it anywhere else. You're not going to get it from money. You're not going to get it from power. You're not going to get it from prestige. You're only going to get it right here in Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now any questions. Okay, we'll stop here then. Gantarab Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.